For centuries, composers have drawn inspiration from the oldest melody makers in the world, birds. For example, take this piece. It's called Summer Has Arrived. It's from the mid-1200s, and it features musical references to the cuckoo bird, a species that would continue to inspire Handel, Beethoven, Mahler hundreds of years later. Nashville Public Radio's Cara McClelland has this history.
That's a swan. Well, more specifically, that's Kristen Englands imitating a swan. Englands lives in Nashville and is a musician. She also knows a thing or two about birds and birdsong.
I am the 2009 International Bird Call Imitation Champion.
So I asked her why she thinks so many composers have been drawn to the cuckoo.
The cuckoo actually is kind of indicative of spring for a lot of Europeans. But it's such an iconic sound, and kind of like the loon, it's approachable. It's two notes for the most part, and, you know, it kind of gets stuck in your head.
As it turns out, imitating complex birdsong is really hard. That might be another reason that so many composers have stuck with the simple two-note motive of the cuckoo. Other composers have taken a different route, and instead of trying to match a bird note for note, they try to capture the essence of the bird through music. Like Vivaldi's Goldfinch Concerto. In 1729, it was one of the first concertos to feature a flute solo performing bird-like warbles and trills. There may be a reason for this. The goldfinch is tricky to imitate.
They'll just pick up other birds' songs and adapt them into their own and learn different patterns throughout their entire life.
Thanks to Vivaldi, the flute is often used to imitate birds. Some composers don't even try to capture how a bird sounds, but instead focus on how it looks and how it moves. That's the case with Camille Saint-Saëns' take on the swan from his suite, The Carnival of the Animals. The elegant cello line perfectly captures a swan gliding through a serene lake and the arching curve of its neck. England says that artists have also romanticized the swan because it's a monogamous bird. It picks a mate and sticks with it for life. But through those artistic representations, the swan may have earned a graceful reputation that it might not deserve.
Their temperament is just nasty. If you see a swan, likely you'll have someone telling you to stay away from the swan.
In 1924, Italian composer Odorino Respighi did something revolutionary. He wrote one of the first pieces of music to blend electronics with a live orchestra by using a phonograph on the concert stage. At the end of the third movement of The Pines of Rome, Respighi played a recording of a bird that he had actually heard among the Roman trees, a nightingale. Like the cuckoo, the nightingale has popped up again and again as a source of inspiration for classical composers.
I think night can be a really lonely time. Just to have something singing in the darkness is pretty profound.
But the composer who probably loved birdsong more than anyone else was Olivier Messiaen. The 20th century French composer spent decades of his career filling thousands of pages with transcribed bird songs he collected to put into his music.
Et voici le rossignol. Il éclate tout d'un coup brusquement.
This is Messiaen talking about the nightingale and the two distinct sections of its song. The percussive opener. And what he describes as a lower harpsichord gong timbre. Messiaen wrote some of the most innovative and challenging music of the 20th century, and that holds true for his bird-inspired work. But knowing that the music was inspired by birds makes it that much more familiar and approachable. And that's why Kristen Englands thinks that composers have been so captivated by birdsong all these years, because they truly are the masters of connecting and communicating through music.
Whether they're calling out to a mate or sending a warning or saying, hey, there's some food here, or, you know, communicating to their young, they do it all in pitches and music in a way. And I think that's just fascinating, and it's kind of like an ideal way of being for musicians.
Or, in the words of Olivier Messiaen, birds are first and foremost the greatest performers. For Here and Now, I'm Kara McLeland.
Sounds like working in the studio with Jeremy.
You know,
so beautiful.
It sounds much nicer than the crow that wakes me up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Femi Okeh.
I'm Jeremy Hobson.